extend you and your heart for us and for the world, and help us to be changed in accordance to that. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to start with the video, so see if we can get this going.
This crap.
Definitely no cheese in the can. No. Very happy to be throwing this away.
It's bacon.
No, I want my bacon. I gotta tell you something. Bacon is good for me. This is very
good. You're gonna be going to the grocery store.
She thinks at the Blue she's a smart little girl that she can do whatever she wants. No, that's not how she can do it in our family. She's acting like she's the queen and we're the sorry people. Joy, I have been nice to you, but now I'm coming to the edge.
I promise you one thing, okay? If you do not have at least one food that you like, I will buy you a piece of junk. Is that a deal?
No, I keep losing at deals, and I don't want to make a deal anymore. I am leaving, and you can't stop me. I'm packing my bags. And a very, very calm day until this. A bump in the road comes, and she beats sarcastic.
Curtis.
I won't be coming back until Saturday when you leave. She's gonna try to stop me, but she can't run those little high heels. Never see this face again.
I love that video. It just gets me going every time. Have you ever run away? Have you ever run away? Curtis, our friend in the video, had a nutritional revolution come to his house. Health food was in, and junk food, and you saw how much junk food there was, it was kind of covering the whole kitchen, junk food was out. So chicken nuggets, ice cream, and most importantly, bacon was out. And Curtis says, if they're out, so am I. You'll never see this face again. I love it. Anyway, what's the connection to the Bible? Well, today we begin a new series. We're starting in the book of Jonah, and we see a prophet, a man called of God, called to speak on God's behalf, runs away. God, if that's what you want, I'm gone. You'll never see this face again. Now, we might laugh at Curtis, and we kind of shake our heads in wonder at Jonah, but often there are things that God asks of us. It makes us want to run away. Yes, God is good and he will bring about good things, sometimes even against our own preferences or desires or actions. But will we go with him? Will we go along with him? Well, what we're going to see through the book of Jonah is that the Lord is full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's powerful and he will save people as he chooses. That's kind of the main threads through the book of Jonah. Well, keep your Bibles open. We're going to start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Point 1, prophet on the run. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God calls upon a prophet called Jonah to warn Nineveh. Now, who is Jonah? We know a little bit about Jonah from another part of the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. He lived in a town called Gath Hepher in Galilee. And Jonah was a prophet. He was a spokesperson for the Lord. And he had a word of the Lord already before this point, which had come true. Another day, he said that the borders of Israel were going to expand. And they did. That's what we're told in that 2 Kings passage. So one day, another day, a different word of the Lord comes to Jonah. And this is what we read. Go to Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So Nineveh. What is Nineveh? Nineveh was a great city. It was the capital of Assyria. It was like a combination of Washington, D.C. and New York. It was both powerful politically, but also a very rich and very wealthy city. It was wealthy because it was agriculturally fertile in the surrounding regions outside the city. It was also the crossroads of two major trading routes, so it was rich. But it was also the capital of Assyria, so it was also very powerful. To an Israelite, Nineveh was Not so much, you know, a great city to be looked up to, though. It was the headquarters of their great threat to the north. Ninevites neither feared the Lord nor cared for his people Israel. And so Jonah gets this message to go and preach against it. Now, we're going to notice two assumptions in these verses. First off, every nation is accountable to God. Although the Lord is specifically the God of Israel, other nations, including Assyria, are accountable to him. The Lord God is no mere kind of Israelite mascot just for them and them alone. No, he is the Lord over all. Everyone has to obey the Lord. Every servant needs obedience to God. Secondly, God assumes the right to command the obedience of specific people. When the Lord speaks to Jonah, Jonah is to obey. See, God is the sovereign ruler over the international and the personal, the individual. So Jonah here, though he's been given an incredibly difficult task, he should go and do it. Jonah is given the hard thing. He needs to go and warn Nineveh of their impending judgment by God. And so Jonah is stuck between, you might say, a rock and a hard place. He's stuck between a powerful city and its inhabitants, which surely are against him, people who are his enemies, and he's stuck between that and the God who rules over the whole world, including Jonah himself. Now, often there are difficult things for us in our life that God calls us to do, and we stand at a crossroads needing to make a decision. Well, what does Jonah do in his situation? He runs away. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. It's interesting that it doesn't say that Jonah ran away from Nineveh. It says that Jonah ran away from the Lord. So we've got Nineveh is, if you're thinking about Israel, it's to the northeast, so you're going inland and up on the map. That's where Nineveh is. So sure, he's kind of going off in the opposite direction from Nineveh, but really it says that Jonah is running away from God. Jonah is planning to go across the Mediterranean Sea towards Spain. Now, what was Jonah thinking? Perhaps Jonah thought that he could just wait, you know, the whole thing will blow over. You know, maybe God, if I go away, God will get someone else to go and speak to the Ninevites. Or maybe God will just say, time's up. No one went to speak to the Ninevites and God will just smash him. Whatever the case is, he plans to go to Tarshish, which is the far side of the Mediterranean Sea. So he goes down to the coast to Joppa, finds a ship, pays his ticket, hops aboard, and they set sail. And at the beginning of the verse, in response to the call, he runs away to the Lord. And now, at the end of the verse, he's aboard the ship, sailing towards the horizon, and he's fleeing from the Lord. And when it comes to myself, I know quite often I'm like Jonah. You know, I know what I should do. Oftentimes the Bible is pretty clear and pretty straightforward, yet I flee. I flee from the Word of God. So a few weeks ago, Jesus called us to love our enemies, didn't he? To pray for them, to be good to them, because that's what God does. So God calls us to do the same. You know, we might read or hear or consider and ponder a command like that and understand it and even have a particular person in mind. I should pray for that person. I should speak differently to them. It's not about uncertainty or lack of clarity. It's just that we don't want to do it. And so we run away. Although Jonah had a specific command, didn't he? He had a different command. Though tied into it was loving enemies, there was also an added dimension, wasn't there? What's another hard thing? Well, maybe we get more specific, like what's going on with Jonah. Maybe it's to warn someone of God's coming judgment, or just to speak up about it. Are you afraid that you might be scorned? As people seem to scorn God now, you might be scorned in the same way. Or are you afraid that they might actually repent and miss out on what you think they deserve? It's an interesting one. If we just kind of take it in a straightforward sense, a general sense, an easier sense, they're getting personal particular, maybe if you are involved in a ministry here at church or elsewhere, do you talk about God's judgment in that ministry? Either way, there are many opportunities, aren't there, where something's clear to us and we have a moment, a crossroads, where we can either obey or disobey. Sometimes things are harder to work out, but sometimes they're very clear. Whatever the case is, our decisions rest on us. However, what we learn in the rest of the passage from verse 4 to 16 is ultimately that God is in control, even when we disobey. Point 2, ain't no sea wide enough. So, God is supreme over all. That is a straightforward teaching of the Bible. First, he's supreme over the natural world, and he's also supreme over every human heart. Jonah would have known this intellectually. He would have known that God created the heavens and the earth. He would have known in his head that there is no boat fast enough to get away from the Lord. He knew Genesis 1 and 2. And he would have known King David's words in Psalm 139, which we read the whole psalm out, but I'll just read a portion to you now. Think about this. Jonah would have known these words. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David speaks those words as words of comfort. Jonah would have known those words, but he wasn't looking to be comforted by the Lord, was he? He was looking to push away from the Lord God. But the words still stand. In practice, Jonah didn't act as if God really was the one who created everything and the one by which creation exists and operates. So whether it's cognitive dissonance, you can hold these things together in his mind, though it really doesn't fit, or vain hope, Jonah runs away, flees. But God steps in against Jonah's escape. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship began to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So what do we see here? Well, first off, seemed like Jonah was the man of action. He was making things happen. But really, God is the one directing the action. God is the one who whips up this storm to stop the boat. The sailors who are operating the vessel, they see that the ship might be shattered, might be torn apart by the storm. They're terrified and they just start to do what they can do. They try praying to all the gods that they know. I got this one. Okay, pray. Look, let's just go for it. Okay, not working. They start to throw things over the board. They jettison the cargo from the ship. All the while, Jonah is sleeping below deck. Now, sometimes Christians test their decisions, things that they should or shouldn't do, against whether they feel psychologically unsettled or not. Sometimes people say, I feel peace in my heart to do this or that. If I feel okay about it, then it must be okay. If I feel turmoil, the thing must be bad. Now, I want to say often that's a good first indicator. We have a conscience, but sometimes our conscience or just our psychology in general can be wrong on a decision, and particularly if it's a decision that goes against God's word. Could it be possible that for Jonah, he has peace in his heart about running away from God? I wonder. Maybe his conscience on the matter has not kept him from a deep sleep and rest. Anyway, the captain is a man of action. He finds Jonah, he rouses him from his sleep. How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us so that we will not perish. All right, so they're going through the list of gods. They got to the bottom because the guy fallen asleep. We'll ask him about his God, this Jonah guy. Now, at this point, Jonah says nothing. The sailors then seek out the will of the gods together and they cast lots. Let's just see what happens. So you can imagine Jonah, he's now awake. He's watching all this. And he knows that the lot is going to fall on him. And it does. The sailors then asked Jonah a series of rapid-fire questions. All right, Jonah, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What is your work? Where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Jonah answers all of the questions except his job. He doesn't tell them that he's a prophet, a messenger from God. Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the land and the sea. Now, the sailors knew that Jonah was running away from the Lord. And notice the capitalization there. That means that it's not Lord in the general sense of just, you know, a boss or a ruler or someone over someone else. It's the personal name, capital L-O-R-D, the personal name of the Israelite God, Yahweh, or Jehovah, depending on your... Anyway, we're going to do that. Anyway, they now know this personally is the God who has brought the storm upon the ship. And Yahweh is no longer just one God among many, you know, just the long list of gods that existed. Okay, we've got this one down here, the Israelite God, Yahweh. Okay, he's them for their country in that place that we sometimes take our ship to. No, the sailors now recognize they can cross off all these other names. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of all creation. And so they asked Jonah, what should we do? What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Now, it's interesting the sailors say, what should we do to you, Jonah? I think they had in mind to take Jonah back, perhaps to shore. If we just get him back to his place and off on the right direction, things will be all right. But Jonah gives a word, and this is what they'll have to do rather than perish. He says, look, you should throw me into the heart of the sea. Jonah is responsible for the storm. He is the one guilty before God. Throw me overboard. Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, for it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, funnily enough, the sailors, like Jonah, disobey God at this point, because Jonah is the prophet of the Lord. He often speaks on the Lord's behalf, and he understands what's going on in the situation. The Lord is causing this. But the sailors don't actually want to do what Jonah says, so it's very interesting at this point. But they put their plan into action, and they try to row back to land. But the sea gets even wilder than before. Things get even more crazy. And so now they take Jonah at his word, and the sailors cry out to the Lord. Point three, sovereign saviour. So, at the beginning of the story, who would have expected this? Jonah, the prophet of God, was meant to go to Nineveh in order that those people might cry out to the Lord. Now Jonah's gone off in the opposite direction, trying to escape the Lord and his duty and his job. But even when Jonah disobeys the Lord, God is in control. The Lord is in control. And the Lord brings others, even these, you know, tough sailors, to the point of crying out to him. This is what the sailors say. Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. What do we add into the picture? God is not just sovereign over creation, over the world. He's also sovereign over people's hearts. These men turn to him. There's a repentance there. They turn to him, and there's an acknowledgement of who God is. They turn themselves over to the mercy of God. They recognize his power, and they don't want to be guilty before him. So God is in control over the land. He's in control of the sea. He's in control of all the people on earth, even those who aren't from Israel. And through all this, we see God's compassion and mercy and how he draws to himself all those he wills. Verse 15, they then took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Where Jonah didn't fear, didn't worship, didn't obey the Lord God, and ran away from him, these pagan sailors, these Gentiles, you know, think to the Israelites, oh, these are people of nations that don't know our Lord God. Well, they end up doing just what Jonah should have done. They feared him. They worshipped him. They made vows of obedience to him. We see that God saves all kinds of people. Now, next week, we're going to see what happens to Jonah, who is now in the water. But we're going to conclude here. As we finish, the question remains is this. Are we going to be like Jonah? Or are we going to be like the sailors? Are you like Jonah? You know the Lord, but you run away from him. You know his word. You know it clearly. You understand it. Yet you disconnect God from different parts of your life. Maybe from your understanding of the physical creation. Maybe that God truly does rule over all the nations and tribes and cities and all the peoples and powers of the world. Do you run away from the challenge to love your enemies? To speak to them, to pray for them, to forgive them? Or are you like the sailors? You don't quite know God, you know, personally, but you sense his power. You observe the world and you see, okay, things do fit together. There is a powerful God. And perhaps even like these sailors, his plans have come crashing into your life and you need to do something about it. Is that you? It's very interesting, the words of the sailors as they threw Jonah overboard. They're kind of a little bit like the words that a person might say about Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one who himself calmed a storm with his words having the power of God. Jesus is also the one who went to die so that others might live. He's the one who knows God fully. Yet unlike Jonah, he didn't run away. He kept on the path of obedience that none of us can and none of us keep. Jesus kept it. Jesus was willing to go where Jonah would not. And Jesus ultimately saves people. So Jesus calls us to accept him, to fear God, and to take up his sacrifice and call out to God, please don't have our guilt on us, have it on him, forgive us. Is that where you're at? God is willing to save all kinds of people, even you. So whoever you are, this chapter says, don't run from God, but go to him and live with the Lord of heaven and earth as the Lord of your life. Now, the story is not resolved here. We've got three more chapters to go. As we keep going on in the book of Jonah, we're going to see again and again and again the love and the compassion of God as he draws and saves all kinds of people back to himself. Let's finish by praying. Lord God, we're sorry for the times in which we flee from you. We know your mercy and compassion in giving Nineveh a chance to repent. We see your mercy and compassion in these sailors. And ultimately, we know your mercy and compassion in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sake. Hear us to fear, worship, and obey you all our days. And help us even to take the news of your mercy to others as well. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to come to our prayer time now. And during the time of open prayer, I'm going to walk around with the microphone so that some people can hear a little bit better. So this is what we'll do.